So good to see all of you. And how about all these kids in the house? Can we give it up for our kids? I do. I love seeing you guys. Don't you think that is a sign of a healthy church? So, I mean, hey, if they start, I'll do my best to maybe put them to sleep as we go along, but no. Put them to sleep, not put you to sleep. But hey, we really are glad that we have all of our kids in here today. I mean, we should just do this every time. I'm kidding. We're glad that they're here. Hey, I'm also so thrilled that those of you who are here in San Antonio, thanks for being here. We know a lot of you are watching online from all around the U.S., all around the globe, really, and so we want to thank you for joining us as well. I think you're going to be glad that you did. But a special shout out to any of our college students. Do we have any college students in the house that just started out? Okay. We've got some. Okay. Awesome. I did this at the early service, and there was only one girl there by herself. You guys left her hanging at the 8:30. No, I'm just kidding. But I want you to know that I am thrilled that you're here. So whether you're starting at UTSA or wherever it may be, we know this is a big time in your life, and I would love to personally meet you. I mean, after the service, I'll be down here at the stage. I'd love to get a chance to meet you, because I know a little bit of what it feels like to be moving into your freshman year or whatever. We just dropped off our oldest Jackson last week at ACU, and so I kind of know what that feels like. And I just wanted to report in for any of you. Thank you for praying for us. Many of you were praying for us. It was a good day, and there were a few tears and a few laughs and a lot of gratitude for what God is doing in Jackson's life. So I know a little bit of what it feels like to go into that time. I do want you to know also that I was very cautious every time I filled up my car with gas as we went. And if you're wondering what in the world that means, you need to watch last week's message. Now, speaking of last week, we were in John chapter 4. The Gospel of John, in John chapter 4, we find that Jesus encounters a woman, an unexpected woman, in an unexpected place, and the unexpected happens. Jesus encounters this woman, it changes her life. And then she goes back into her village and she starts telling other people about this man that she just met. They all come back out to meet Jesus because they want to see what he is all about. And Scripture tells us that many of them came to believe. Many Samaritans that day came to believe in Jesus. It was unexpected, certainly an unexpected place there in, as far as the Jews were concerned, one of the least desirable places in the world, at least in their mind, Samaria. But here these Samaritans came to believe in Jesus. Unexpected by the followers of Jesus, not unexpected by Jesus himself. And so to explain to his disciples, to his followers, what's going on, he sums it up in one sentence. He says, look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for what? Harvest. That the fields are white for harvest. You see, their vision was too small. It was too limited to a certain group of people in a certain place, and it was just too limited. And so Jesus is telling them, I want you to see this. I want you to see that the fields are white for harvest. They could not have imagined a bunch of Samaritans so eager to accept an invitation to follow Jesus. But they were. And a harvest took place in that town that day. We believe that it's going to happen again. That a harvest is going to take place again. We believe, we've called this our harvest vision. We believe Jesus is coming back. He will return. It's not a matter of if, it is a matter of when. And we don't know when. But we do know that Jesus has called us to prepare harvest hands. In the meantime, while we wait for his return, we are to prepare for the harvest. Now, I want to ask you a question. Do you believe that the world needs Jesus and that it is ready to hear and receive him? Now, don't answer too quickly. I want you to think about this. This is a big question. But it's an important question because our answer to the question will determine our actions. Do you believe that the world needs Jesus and is ready to hear and receive him? I want you to know that Jesus believed that the world was ready. Well, look at this, what he says to his disciples, his followers, in Matthew chapter 9. It says, when he looked out over the crowds, his heart broke. Well, what was it that broke the heart of Jesus? It goes on to say, so confused and aimless they were, like sheep with no shepherd. What a huge harvest, Jesus said to his disciples. But how few workers on your knees and pray for harvest hands. And Jesus goes beyond just telling them to see that the harvest is here. In that passage, he says, you've heard the saying, at 4 months into the harvest, forget that. The harvest is here, right now. But then he goes a step beyond that, and he says, prepare harvest hands. I am thrilled that you're here today because I'm thrilled to get to share with you some of what God has laid on your leadership here at Oak Hills Church as to how we are going to go about preparing harvest hands. But first, before we talk about that, we are going to heed the words of Jesus and we are going to pray for harvest hands. Can we pray together? Father, we are moved by the compassion that Jesus had as he looked out over the crowds to see people who were aimless and confused, sheep without a shepherd. And your word tells us that it broke his heart. I am praying that what broke his heart will break our heart as well. And I'm praying that we will be able to see what he saw, and that is that the harvest is here and that the world is ready to hear and receive Jesus. Father, would you help us to prepare and equip each other for the harvest? And now would you bless the preaching of your word? Would you bless the hearing of your word? And would you bless the doing of your word? In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And all those who agreed said, amen. Amen. I love this time of year. It feels a little bit to me like a time to, reset just a little bit. I mean, it's not quite New Year's, but it still kind of has that feel. Things are changing just a little bit different. And it's a time where we reset, we refocus. It's an opportunity to restart. But I want you to know that the main reason that that I love this time of year is because of the return of football. It is true. It is true. I have to confess, I do. I love the game. I love everything about it. And it's this time of year I get very excited. I watched the game last night, like stayed up and watched the opening of the college season. It was just so very exciting. And I love so much about the game. It is not going to be long, and I am going to be either watching the games live or I'm going to be DVRing the games. But even though I DVR it, I will still scream at the TV as if my screaming has any influence on the outcome of that game. Can I get an amen from some of the armchair quarterbacks in the house? All right. I don't know why we do that, but we do. And so I want you to know that before I became an armchair quarterback, I was an actual quarterback. I didn't just watch the game, I got to play the game. I wasn't good enough for the college scholarship, but before that, for 9 glorious years, I got to play the game, be on the field. And for most of those years, I got to play the role of quarterback, which means I got to bring the huddle together, and I got to call the play, and I got to run the play with the team. Now, back in my day, we didn't have this no huddle, up tempo, spread it out, sling it around kind of thing. No, we gathered the huddle, we called the play, ran the play. It was smash you in the mouth every play. Okay, so that was a little bit violent. I apologize for that. But that was kind of the idea. You get in the huddle, you call the play, and then you run the play. And then after you would call the play, before you to break the huddle, I would say, on one, ready, break. And then on the word break, we would all clap together. Could we do that together right now? It's been a while for me. Never had a huddle quite this large, but if you would, humor me. On one, ready, break. Not bad. Not great, but we'll work on that. We'll work on that. That's what we would do. And you know what? When you would hear that clap on break, that clap might as well have been a clap of thunder, because it was the sound of unity. It was the sound of solidarity. You didn't know what was about to happen on that play. Anything could happen on any given play. But you knew the play, and you knew that everybody was going to be pulling in the same direction for the same mission and the same objective, to move that ball down the field and to score points. You knew what you were about. And you knew that every single person on that team had to do their part for the play to work. It's a beautiful thing when a team comes together and everybody's doing their part. You know, it's actually a pretty good picture of the church. The Apostle Paul, he uses a different metaphor. He uses the metaphor of the body, but basically to say the same thing. In Ephesians chapter 4, as he addresses the church in Ephesus, chapter 4 is one of my favorite chapters in all of Scripture. But he says to them, rather speaking the truth in love, we are to what? Grow up. We are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Paul says the body of Christ, the church, is like the body. And when each part is working properly, when each part is doing its part, what happens? The body is built up in love. When we grow up, the body is built up in love. Had Paul been a quarterback, I think he would have gathered the huddle, and I think he would have called the same play over and over and over. I think he would have called this play, grow up to build up others. Grow up to build up others. On one, ready, break. Oh, you guys are a little behind. Y'all gonna have to wake up. Keep up. I think this is the play that he would have called. Now, when we look in the New Testament, we see that there were a lot of different churches that were addressed, a lot of different things going on in the different churches. But it seems to me that there was a running theme, okay? There was a running thread through all the exhortation and all the advice that he was giving these churches, not just Paul, but other writers. It kind of seems to boil down to this: grow up to build up others. Because when we grow up, we grow spiritually, but for what point? I mean, is it just so that we can be more spiritually mature? Is it just so we can be more satisfied in our life? Is it just so we can have more of what it is that we seek in our... No. We grow up, but it's not for our own sake, for the sake of others. We grow up to build up others. Let me see if I can illustrate this. If you want to find me on a Friday night, I'm going to be easy to find, because on Friday night I'm going to be sitting on a bleacher somewhere watching my second oldest play the game of, you probably guessed it, football. And I'm excited to watch him play. Not because I'm looking for some outcome on a scoreboard, but because watching him play is actually a celebration of his growth. You see, he has grown. I'm telling you, the kid has grown literally a lot. But it's because he put in the work, that, and he put away a lot of groceries. Please be praying for us that we can feed this kid. But as he grew up, as he has grown up, guess who's gotten stronger? Yes, he has gotten stronger, but guess who else has gotten stronger? The team. You see, as he's grown up, the team has been built up. As he got stronger, the team got stronger. As he got better, the whole team has gotten better. He's put in the work to grow up, but the outcome has been those who are depending on him, that he is depending on. They're all stronger together. Now, the Christian life is not an individual sport. The Christian life is a team effort. But it does begin with an individual decision. That's why we make it our mission, our objective as a church. We want to invite all people to follow Jesus, moment by moment. It is the greatest invitation that anyone will ever receive to the greatest life that anyone will ever live. Somebody's waiting for an invitation to follow Jesus moment by moment. And that individual decision turns into spiritual growth, someone growing up to build up others. Now, following Jesus is not the easiest thing to do. And here's why. Because keeping Jesus at the center of it all, well, it's just not the easiest thing to do. It's not easy, even for churches, to keep Jesus at the center. Now, why is that? Well, it's because at the center of our lives, there are a lot of things vying for this space. A lot of things, a lot of people that want to be at the center of your life. And so we have choices to make. Let me illustrate how this works. This is not an exhaustive list, but here's some examples of some of the things that vie for the center of our life. How about politics? I mean, politics, we spend a lot of energy trying to figure out which side of the aisle we're on, which side of the issue we're on, which side of this issue, that issue. And then after that, we got to figure out what side of the issue other people are on. Then we got to figure out whether we can have a civil conversation with each other about those issues. Politics are not bad. They can be good for our society. They're just not good enough to be at the center of your life. How about this? How about sports? You guys know that I love sports. Maybe you do too. Sports are great. They're good. But they're just not good enough to be at the center. If we start to chase sports ourselves or to drive our children to do that, if it becomes the center and everything revolves around that, our entire schedule, our entire life start to revolve around that, when we chase something like sports, we chase Jesus from the center where he belongs. How about this one? Family. Now, you know family is important to me, and I'm going to continue to preach the importance of the family unit. It is the institution that God has ordained. But it doesn't belong in the center. You see, what's best for our family unit is not what the world revolves around. It's good, but it's not good enough for the center. And when it takes this place, it takes the place, it's a place it wasn't created to be. How about this one? Entertainment. We love entertainment. Anybody else love entertainment? I do. I love entertainment. I love to be entertained. But if I'm spending more time being entertained than I am being in the Word of God, then I have a problem. Because entertainment wasn't meant to be at the center of our lives. How about this one? Work. Work is a good thing. Okay, we were created to work. Work is a good thing, but it's not good enough to be at the center. If my life is revolving around the next step, the promotion, the chasing after the next thing, if I think, oh, if I just spend more time at work, I can do more, I can gain more, was never intended to be at the center. How about this one? Church strategy. Oh. Even church strategy. You see, even for churches, we have to make sure that only Jesus is at the center and that there is nothing that gets out of order. Church strategy is good. Yes, the church needs to huddle up. The church needs to know how we're going to go about together preparing Harvest Hands to invite people to follow Jesus moment by moment. This is very important for us, but it's not first things. You see, only following Jesus belongs at the center. But I want you to look at this even for just a moment. It just feels a bit cluttered. And I'll confess to you, I mean, there are a lot of different things that could go in here, but for me, these have been the things that have cluttered my life. And there have been times when I've wondered, why do I feel anxious? Why is peace so elusive in my life? I mean, following Jesus is in there, right? But peace will continue to elude us if following Jesus is just one of the many things at the center. We find ourselves trying to balance these things. We're chasing after all these things all at once. My friend, you will never find peace and you will never find purpose until following Jesus is the only thing at the center of your life. You see, Jesus, he's not meant to be admired while we chase after other things. Following Jesus is meant to be at the center of our life because Jesus is seated at the center of the heavenly throne and will be from everlasting to everlasting. He is the only one worthy of the center of your life. Now I want you to listen to his words. These are his words, not mine. He says, then Jesus said to his disciples, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross, and follow me. Give up your own way, take up your cross, and follow me. These are not my words. These are the words of Jesus to his disciples. These are his words to you. Now the question becomes, okay, that sounds serious. And it is. Beautifully serious. But what does it mean to follow Jesus? What does it look like? How do we know if we're following Jesus? Well, I think to answer that question, we have to look at the life of Jesus to see what it looked like for him. And many times in his life, always in his life, it began with hearing. He would hear. He was in constant conversation with his Father. I mean, sometimes we begin to think about Jesus in terms of, well, he was God, so, I mean, that's really kind of unfair for us to, but hold on a second. You see, Jesus was constantly looking to his Father, listening to his Father to see what he was to do, taking his cue from his Father. He was hearing him. And Jesus says to us, he says, anyone who has ears, let him hear. So maybe you have the question, well, how do I hear from God? Well, we can hear from God through, his Spirit can speak to us. We're filled with his Spirit. We can hear through the wise people around us as the Spirit speaks through them. But I will tell you this, we will hear from him by being engaged in God's Word. Okay, God's never going to tell you something or tell you something through someone else that's going to contradict what he has told you in his Word. We cannot hear him clearly if we are not engaging in his Word. To hear. But it doesn't end there. Once we've heard, we have to discern. And we have a decision to make. Do we believe? Okay, God, I've heard from you. And now I'm discerning. I am believing that it is your voice that I'm hearing. Believing. I am trusting that what I have heard is truth. We have a decision to make at this point. We have to ask ourselves, do we believe? Can we trust? Sometimes we sing this song, your grace is enough. Do we believe it? Do we believe that his grace is enough? Do we believe that the righteousness of Christ is enough and is solid enough ground for us to put all of our weight upon it? Do we believe? Can we trust it? Is it trustworthy? And then once we have heard and we've discerned and we have believed, we've trusted it, now we have a submitting of our lives, a yielding of our lives, not going our own way, but taking up our cross to follow him as we obey. Now, I know that is not a very popular word in our day and time. We see the word obey and we think of oppressive ideas. We think of keeping a list of rules, you know, just following the rules and just checking the boxes and, okay, I did what I was supposed to do. A disconnect from the heart. But that is not the obedience that is found in Scripture. I know this isn't a popular word, but I think it's time to redeem it. I think it's time to redeem obedience because of the beauty of it that we find in the Scriptures. You see, obedience is not about our work, but it is a response to the work that has been done by Christ. Obedience is not about the work that I do. It is a response to the work that Christ has already done. Obedience is a beautiful gift. It's a beautiful, simple response of someone who has heard and they have believed and submitted their life, chosen to submit their life, to not go their own way, but to take up their cross and to follow Jesus. And I want you to know that after you obey, it doesn't end there. It's not like, hey, I've arrived, I obeyed. It keeps going. And once we have obeyed, we hear more. God just continues in love to pour out more, to let us hear more. And then we have yet again a decision to make. Is this the voice of God? Are we discerning that? Do we believe it? And if yes, will I have the courage to obey, to lay down my life and obey him? And it just keeps going and it keeps going, because this is a never-ending process. Why? Because it is an ever-growing relationship with Jesus. So I don't care if you are a brand new Christian or you've been a Christian most of your life for many, many years. We are all on the same journey. We are all called to grow up, and we all have room to grow up. Look at these scriptures. Romans 10:17. So faith comes from what? Hearing. And hearing through the word of Christ. Look at this. Then they said to him, what must we do to be doing the works of God? That's a good question, right? Here's how Jesus answered them. This is the work of God, that you, what? Believe. That you believe in him whom he has sent. And then finally this. If you love me, obey my commandments. If you love me, obey my commandments. I believe that following Jesus is the greatest invitation that anyone will ever receive to the greatest life that anyone could ever live. But who's going to make that invitation to someone else? Here's a word of caution. Hearing, believing, and obeying, it will change your life. It has changed my life. But it was never my work. It was never my work. I cannot hear from God outside of the power and the work of the Holy Spirit. I cannot believe outside of the work and the power of the Holy Spirit. And I cannot obey. I cannot even begin to yield my life in obedience outside of the work and the power of the Holy Spirit. It is not my works. This play that we're running, it's not about just look and see what I can do. Oh, you just step back and watch me hear, believe, and obey. Come on. No, this is not about what I can do and say, God, aren't you so proud of what I have done for you? Just look at my goodness, especially compared to everyone else around. No, that is not it at all. It's not about my goodness. The Apostle Paul, mentioned him earlier. He was someone who at one point in his life was very proud of what he had accomplished for God. But later in his life, I want you to look at what he wrote. He said, yes, all the things I once thought were so important are gone from my life. Compared to the high privilege of knowing Christ Jesus as my master firsthand, everything I once thought I had going for me is insignificant dog dung. There are other versions that say filthy rags, but I thought this was a little stronger. What's he saying? He's saying, I've dumped it all in the trash. You see, it's not worth anything. I've dumped it all in the trash so that I could embrace Christ and be embraced by him. Paul says, I didn't want some petty, inferior brand of righteousness that comes from keeping a list of rules when I could get the robust kind that comes from trusting Christ. God's righteousness. Now we're talking. Because my righteousness, filthy rags. It's dog dung. It's not good for anything. Just throw it in the trash. But the righteousness of Christ, I can put my full weight on it. And that's worth something. You see, what we are talking about is not our work, but it is the work of Christ in us. Put another way, anything that is true of Jesus can be true of you because of the Jesus in you. Anything that is true of Jesus can be true of you. Why? Because of the Jesus in you. It is not about striving. It is about abiding. It's about resting in the work of Jesus. He is the source. And when He is the source, we grow up to build up others. It was a year ago, exactly, this weekend, a year ago, when I stood on this platform and became the lead minister. And I had a request for you that day, and the request hasn't changed. It's actually the same request today, and it was this: will you grow with me? Will you grow with me? Because I knew that I was about to have a lot of opportunity to grow, and boy, have I ever had a lot of opportunity to grow. Some days I've said, God, I think I'm done growing today. Can we just call it a day? You know, I think we're good. Start over again tomorrow. Maybe you've been there. Maybe you know what that feels like. You're being stretched and you're growing. But as I have grown, the church has been built up. And the same is true for you. As you grow, it is the church that is built up in love. As you get stronger, the church gets stronger. As you get better, the church gets better. So I'd like to re-up. I'd like to extend my hands right now symbolically to present these hands as harvest hands. Harvest hands. And I want to pray for us right now. And for anyone else who would like to join me symbolically, just extend your hands right now. If you'd like to present your hands as harvest hands, I want to pray for us. Father, we extend our hands right now, not as a show for anybody around us, but just to say to you that we are presenting ourselves to be available. Father, our dream is your dream, and that is each person, each individual would know their God-given gifts and purpose to be able to use to strengthen the body, to build it up in love. So, Father, we give ourselves, we yield ourselves to you, we submit our lives to you, that these hands would be harvest hands. Because we believe that you are coming back, it is not a matter of if, but a matter of when. And we believe that the world needs you, and we believe that the world is ready to hear and receive you. So use us. Bless these harvest hands. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I may have mentioned that I get excited this time of year because I get excited about football. I may have mentioned that I used to play a little bit. And I may have mentioned that I was a quarterback that got to bring the huddle together and call the play and break the huddle. So I'm wondering if, well, just maybe one more time, just for old time's sake, let me call the play and let's break the huddle. Let's grow up to build up others, to hear, believe, and obey, to follow Jesus. On one, ready, break. And the church said, amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Lord.